As Johnny mentioned earlier, this is the last sermon in our series called The Gifts of Christmas. And this would be a very good fit for Christmas Eve. It would also be a good fit for Christmas night. But I think it's a good fit for 2 days after Christmas as well. In one sense, we're 2 or 3 days late, but in another sense, there's historical recognition of the 12 days of Christmas, and this is only day 3, so we've got a ways to go. One advantage of addressing this topic this morning, 2 days after Christmas, is that a lot of the Christmas time distractions, what can be distractions, are behind us now, so we can turn our focus on Jesus. And that's what we're going to do. Let's pray, and then we'll look at the gift of joy. Thanks, Father, for your gifts and the gifts that we particularly associate with Christmas. Today, your gift of joy to your people. We're grateful for the opportunity to be together and to focus together on you. We look to you as our help and our hope. Please guide this time and guard our hearts and help us to open up wide to you and even to see you and rejoice. We pray in Jesus' name. I want to start with a personal story. This is a story of joy. And the story progresses through 3 phases of joy. First is the joy of anticipation. The second phase is the joy of fulfillment or celebration. And the third phase is the joy of proclamation. And those 3 phases of joy will be our focus this morning as we consider Christmas, the original Christmas, and as we consider biblical joy as a topic. So, 46 years ago, Lawrence, Kansas, it was late November. It was Sunday night, nightfall, and I left my apartment, my 3rd-floor apartment in Lawrence on Vermont Street. I walked through the darkness. It was actually the 3rd time I had done that evening. I wanted to get a glimpse of her apartment building. A young woman, a KU grad student like myself, I had met her 3 months earlier, I think, and we'd had conversations. We had danced a single dance together. We had gone to a play together. She had invited me over to dinner at her house, at her apartment, and we were getting to know each other. So, my question was, she had gone off for the weekend, the long weekend, to Ohio, to celebrate Thanksgiving with relatives. And I was wondering if she was back yet. She was supposed to get back Sunday evening sometime. And as her building came into view, I looked up at the 3rd floor and I noticed that it was all lit up. My heart leapt. She was back. She was right there in that glowing place. So, I had no intention of a visit at that time, but I turned away with a quiet joy in my heart. This woman was special. What lay ahead for us, I didn't know. But even with that uncertainty, there was this strange new warmth in my heart. Joy. The joy of a 24-year-old grad student gazing in happy wonder up at these brightly lit windows in the night, which signaled a girl's new presence, her near presence. And this, for me, perhaps for her, was the threshold of a new love. So we were experiencing, I should say I was experiencing, the joy of anticipation. Looking ahead to what might lie ahead. There would be setbacks. There would be troubles and crises. there would be a spiritual journey for me climaxing in faith in Jesus, a newfound faith. So eventually, 2.5 years later, there would be a wedding. So there I was, 2.5 years later, standing in a grove of walnut trees on the KU campus beside my beautiful bride. The sun was shining brightly after long hours of heavy rain that morning. Her name means gift of God. And I was experiencing at that moment joy in God's good gift. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Song of Songs. This was a moment of more joy, greater joy, a new kind of joy, joy breaking loose. Wedding day joy, the joy of fulfillment, the joy of celebration. So started out with the joy of anticipation, leading over 2.5 years later to this joy of celebration, and then a third phase, the joy of proclamation, the telling forth of joy. And for a bride and her bridegroom, the telling forth of their joy probably really begins at the wedding ceremony itself with friends and family. They're gathered there to participate in the joy, to share in that joy. But for us, as we walked out down the aisle, in our case, the grass aisle, at the end of the service, with radiant faces and beaming smiles, that was the beginning of joy of proclamation. The joy of proclamation in the context of a wedding often continues with a just married sign at the back of a vehicle, the newlywed's car. That wasn't exactly our style. Sometimes there may be streamers, shaving cream, tin cans attached to the vehicle. My new in-laws attempted that. Unfortunately for them, they had targeted the wrong car, not realizing that there were two identical red Ford Mustangs parked side by side in the parking lot. The best case is that the proclamation of joy in a marriage context is that it continue through the marriage year after year as the years unfold. I think that's been our case. Both publicly and privately, there's a living out together of sweetness and harmony, which is the fragrance of Christ. Eventually, I would end up writing a testimony tract telling the story of my joy in union with my wife and the greater joy I'd experienced in union with Jesus in coming to know Him. So, the gift of joy. We've been doing a series on the gifts of Christmas, as we've called it. The gifts of Christmas. First, the gift of anticipation, then the gift of patience, followed by the gift of hope, and then the gift of revelation. And now, finally, this gift of joy. Joy is a Christmas thing. We associate joy with Christmas for good reason, and we sing, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." But what is this gift of joy? We need to consider it. We're not talking about a momentary excitement, as in children's squeals of delight when they open up their gift of a Cinderella dress or a supernatural race car Lego set. We're not talking about the magical feelings of the season associated with lights and a Christmas tree and eggnog and carols and traditions. All those are good things and good feelings. But the gift of joy goes deeper. And by the way, we're not talking about the loud shouts of Chiefs fans when Mahomes completes a touchdown pass to Kelsey. or when they win a Super Bowl. Biblical joy runs much deeper than any of those things. It has three aspects, which we've already touched on. Biblical joy involves a progression. Joy goes through these phases. First, the phase of anticipation, where there is expectation. There's a looking forward because of a promise. And then there's the phase of fulfillment, which we associate with celebration and amazement. And finally, the third phase, proclamation. So what we'll do here is take a look at three passages of Scripture. These are short meditations on each of these three passages. The common theme is joy. We'll start with the joy of anticipation. And for this, you can open in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 12, and we will read that chapter, verses 1 through 6. Let's keep in mind what Advent is all about. Advent is all about recalling the anticipation involved with the first coming of Jesus and then entering into anticipation of His returning, His second coming. Isaiah has many passages of Advent anticipation, and we're going to look at just one of those here in Isaiah 12. Here it is. "You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the peoples, proclaim that His name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for He has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion. For great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel." The setting for that chapter is God's people have fallen away from their faith. They've fallen away from God. And there are warnings of judgment to come. But here in the middle of it is this song of salvation. You can't miss the joy. And we see all three aspects, all three phases that we've mentioned already, anticipation, celebration, proclamation, they're all here. What's the joy about? God's anger is turned to comfort. Fear gives way to trust. The Lord God, my strength, my song, my salvation, my strength. We are weak, but God is power for deliverance and change and growth in our lives. My song. He's the one we sing about, the one we sing to, why we sing. My salvation. It's like drinking from a bottomless well with joy. Jesus would say, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." In Isaiah chapter 12, all of this is in the future. Their present circumstances in Isaiah's time were not rosy. And so this is all future oriented. You will say in that day, "I will give thanks to you, O Lord." With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And as it turned out, more than 700 years would pass before there is the fulfillment of Jesus arriving on the scene. And then at least another 2,000 years would need to pass And we're still waiting for Jesus to arrive on the scene again. So what this chapter does is give us a snapshot of future salvation, awakening the joy of anticipation. And it runs deeply and powerfully through those six verses that we read. This is our reality as well. We celebrate His first coming. We anticipate His second coming, Christ's return. In that day, we will more joyously draw water from the wells of salvation. This is the joy of anticipation, looking forward, waiting. It was the joy of that 24-year-old grad student looking up at that brightly lit apartment, looking ahead. What's going to happen? I'm excited. The joy of anticipation. The joy of anticipation is followed by the joy of celebration, the joy of fulfillment. And for this, we'll go to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. So hush, now it's a still night in a little town in Judea, and there a baby is born. And we'll read again the story of it, Luke 2, starting in verse 8. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. So think again, what's happening here? Human history cracks open. It's God breaking into a broken world. The rescuer arrives so quietly. It's a silent, holy night, but not completely silent. There are shepherds in a field tending their flocks. There's the bleating of sheep, maybe the crackling of a fire, perhaps the howling of a wolf in the distance. Suddenly an angel, a flood of light, the glory of God. Don't be afraid. Good news of great joy. A Savior, Christ the Lord, born this day. Go see. And then a great company of angels. Glory to God, peace on earth. News. Never has there been news like this. They run to see. Joy. This is the joy of celebration. This joy has excitement. It could be loud, as with shouting and laughter, or it could be quiet, exhilaration bubbling up within. This joy also has depth. It's profound. It resounds in our innermost being, and it's enduring. It does not quickly fade away. The joy of fulfillment, the joy of celebration. Finally, the third phase of joy, the joy of proclamation. And for that, we'll turn back to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 9 through 11. Isaiah 40, verse 9. Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. The word joy doesn't appear here, and yet this passage is bursting with joy. Joy that overflows into proclamation. Great joy is a great good. The telling of it completes the joy. Our joy is not complete until it's shared, which is why we invite friends to our wedding. And it's why we tell the gospel. Messengers or heralds are called to a mountaintop here. Lift up your voice with strength. Spread the news. Who's it for? Successive audiences over time. The downtrodden, captives, exiles, sinners, us. And the message is, behold your God. He is here. He is your God. He is your God. This passage says, behold, three times. Behold, behold, behold. He is here. Look at him. Look. Jesus, the mighty warrior. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Jesus also, the tender shepherd. He will tend his flock like a shepherd, gather the lambs in his arms, carry them in his bosom, gently lead those that are with young. 7 centuries later, there would be the same urgency. The angels would say, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And then 20 centuries after that, still the same urgency. Here in our place, in our time, at Christmas time, continuing even this third day of Christmas, the proclamation continues. The King has come. He has entered into the world as a baby. He now reigns as a risen King. And our calling is to be heralds, heralds of good news. Remember, our joy in our Savior is not complete until we share it with others. That's why the shepherds spread the word about the child. It's why, after Jesus rose from the dead, Mary and others who saw the risen Jesus heralded the news. It's why the first Christians carried the gospel throughout the known world. It's why we too offer ourselves to be heralds, proclaimers. So what does that look like for you and for me in these days of our lives? What does it look like? What can it look like? What might it look like freshly for you? Enter into the joy of Christmas. Okay, we're going to close here with a responsive reading and go back to Isaiah chapter 12. And if all of you here could rise, and those of you at home, you can rise if you want to, but you might prefer to sit. but we're going to go through verses 1 through 6 in Isaiah 12 responsively. So I will take the part of the leader, and you all will take the part of all. And what we'll see here is all three aspects or phases of joy: the anticipation, the celebration, the proclamation. Let's go. You will say in that day, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away. Behold, God is my salvation.
I will trust and will not be afraid.
For the Lord God is my strength and my song.
And he has become my salvation.
With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously.
Let this be made known in all the earth.
Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion.
For great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel.
Yes, let this be known in all the earth. You may be seated. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, for the gift of joy that you have imparted to those who know you. And thank you, Lord, for your gift of joy to us in this moment. Lord, thank you for the way that you've ordered and ordained our lives such that we can know the anticipation of joy and then its fulfillment and then the proclamation of it. So would you write these things on our hearts and give us new desire, new readiness, new motivation to be the proclaimers of this great joy. We pray in Christ's name.